Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today our topic is about steadfastness, patience and perseverance. From the book Riyad al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi. And brothers and sisters, the patience that I'm talking about is not the typical cliche patience that all of us honestly think. A lot of us, when we say patience, the immediate thought that comes to our mind is bad things happening to us, like sickness and calamities, or whatever it is, loss of job, loss of wealth, things are not going well for you, so we'd be patient. This is not the topic of patience like that. Please, first of all, listen to the definition of what patience and steadfastness in Islam really means and change your understanding. Tonight, you're going to change this understanding, because till now, people still get it wrong. Even the people who have been religious for a while, they still don't know what it means. So let us today, inshallah, look at what perseverance, steadfastness, patience really means and how to do it. And inshallah, I want to address our young generation very importantly on this topic. So my brothers and sisters, the best definition which our scholars gave about the meaning of sabr, the Arabic word is sabr. Sabr. In English, we don't have an equivalent meaning. Even in Hebrew, they don't have it. They say this is a word that you Muslims have. The word sabr means, the definition is like this: to restrain the self from what should not be done. Can you repeat that? Sabr in Arabic, in Islam, steadfastness and patience means to restrain the self from what should not be done. That's the meaning of patience in Islam. Some scholars, they give you some other different branches of what it means, but this, in all the different definitions, in all the cases, no matter what happens, it means to restrain the self from what should not be done. Now let's go into a bit more detail, and I'm going to use the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, verse 200. Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. Allah says, O believers, be steadfast. Be steadfast and battle in steadfastness. Stand firm in your faith and hold Allah in fear, that may attain true success. Therefore, in this verse, we find four main messages. The first message is that Allah addresses the believers specifically, because when you have belief and faith in Allah and you follow the Quran and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are ready to exercise correct patience. That's the next step. Then Allah says the second message. He tells us to be steadfast. To be steadfast is the right between you and Allah. Be steadfast in the rights that are between you and who? And Allah. You and Allah. We're going to explain that. The third message. He then says, وَصَابِرُوا. And vie or battle in steadfastness. What does that mean? It means any pressure or battle or fight or attacks from outside against your faith and your religion and your steadfastness in what pleases Allah from outsiders. It can be physical fighting, it can be in war, it can be in peer pressure, or it can be from family or friends that strive against you to lead you astray or to stop what you're doing in goodness, or they threaten you or they blackmail it and so on. Allah says, battle with that. Don't let them win. Don't let them get you. The fourth message here is Allah is saying, stand firm in your faith from the moment you're born or the moment you reach puberty till you die. Go back and stand firm in your faith. Don't wither. Someone might say, what if my life is in danger? We say to you the minimum and the thing which no one has control over you is your heart. So if somebody is in a life and death situation and they want you to do something completely against Allah, you give in to that, but in your heart you don't believe it. You stay firm. So that when it's all over, you return back to what your heart is already firm on. And that's the example of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was tortured and his mother and father were being killed in front of him, for him to say bad words about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to mention their idols in a higher power, he did so. Even though he said it, they killed his parents and they saved his life. And then he was crying. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, don't worry, your parents are the first martyrs, they're in paradise. And then he said, ya Rasulallah, wallah, it's not that what I'm crying about. I'm crying because niltu mink. I said bad words about you, ya Rasulallah. My faith is gone, I'm doomed. And he said to him, oh Ammar, what does your heart feel? He said, my heart is firm on iman, ya Rasulallah. He said, in aadu fa'ud. If they catch you in the same way and torture you like that and they want you to say the same thing, you say the same thing. Say the same thing. So long as your heart is firm. This is in matter when you are in life and death situation or in a situation where there's going to be danger to you or your property or your life. So Islam is a fair religion and practical. However, the reason I said this, brothers and sisters, is just to answer that question, because some people ask me, being firm on your religion means the heart and then the actions that follow. And not just the heart. You can't say, but my heart is good. No, your heart is not good if all you do in your actions is opposite to what you claim in your heart. I'm going to repeat. Anybody who claims that when they are continuing their sins and not doing their obligations and they claim that they love Allah and His Messenger and they say, my heart is good, you are a lying thief. You are a soldier of the shaitan. Because there cannot be a heart that is good without the actions. If the heart is good, the actions will show. And that is why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَارِكُمْ. Allah does not look at your shapes, your figures. And He does not look at the way you look, what color you are, whether you're good looking or not good looking, whether you're tall or short, whether you've got weight or not. Allah doesn't look at that stuff. He said, إِنَّمَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. What Allah looks at, what's important to Him, is what is inside your heart and then what your actions do. Nobody says, I love you, and they act opposite to it. You're going to say you're a cheater. Isn't that right? You're a betrayer. You're not a true friend. You're not a true person who loves me. Nobody says that. But when it comes to Allah, they say, my heart is good. If your heart is good, follow it up. Otherwise, there are consequences. So my brothers and sisters, this ayah is saying, stand firm on your faith and hold Allah in fear. Who are you fearing? It is Allah that you should fear. You're fearing that a friend will leave you because you're steadfast on your religion? Is your friend going to save you on the day of judgment? Is your friend going to be there for you when you fall? If he or she is a bad friend who leads you astray, wallahi, they will leave you when you fall. And if you are not friends with them and they leave you, wallahi, they'll be the first to slander you and to expose you. Take it from me, I've been a teacher for a very long time and worked with young people. Ya akhi, it happens day in, day out, all the time. You warn them, they don't listen. And then they fall into the same mistake. And some people have to learn the hard way. And some people learn from other people's mistake. The more intelligent person is the one who looks and knows other people's faults and sees the consequences and learns from it. The person who is naive is the one who has to fall before they learn. And the extreme loser is the one who keeps falling and then says to themselves, it's okay if I fall, it's normal, and I'll keep doing it and I'll invite others to it. They're the most evil people. But everybody can come back out and repent. So my brothers and sisters, I had to start off strongly like that because the society we live in is a hyper-sexualized society. Social media is being used by 90% of young people in the wrong way, and they are falling into big harm and making their friends fall into harm and destroying families and themselves. Mental illnesses are on the rise. People are hurting themselves in the name of trying to justify the haram when Allah brought the haram and said, don't go there because it's going to harm you. Who do you fear? You fear people or Allah? A person fears losing their loved one, for example, who claims they love you, but all they want is to live in haram with you. And you call them a girlfriend or boyfriend. You think a person who fears Allah, if you want to lead a good life, you do that. One person said, I always get this all the time. They say, I have a girlfriend. I have a boyfriend. We made istikhara. Istikhara for what? Istikhara on haram? Istikhara doesn't work for haram, ya Habibi. Istikhara, you've already made up your mind to go the haram way. Get out of it. Stop, repent, be sincere with Allah and be honest to be determined to lead a good life and watch how Allah will open your doors. But wallah, I stay in the haram. I'm going against Allah and I want to use Allah. You user? You don't want to use Allah? Allah cannot be used. We can use people. We can lie to our parents. We can lie to our friends. We can lie to our children. We can lie to our spouses. But you can't lie to Allah. Allah watches everything. And that is why Allah says also in the Quran, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They try to hide from people, but they forget to hide from Allah, but they cannot hide from Allah. And we recited the verse before, we say, even an ant's worth of good deed will be revealed, an ant's worth of bad deeds will be revealed on the Day of Judgment. So we are heading to Allah, we have always belonged to Him, we'll return, so we're going there. Now, brothers and sisters, let's move now. Allah says that, therefore, you might look and see, what is all this got to do with patience? This is exactly what it is. It's steadfastness. From that verse, that is what steadfastness and patience means. It doesn't mean I do everything wrong and I sit there and I say, I'm suffering, I better just be patient. Let's explain what it means. Therefore, in this verse of the Quran, O you who believe, be steadfast. This is a statement of command. It's not if you want to. It's not an advice. It's a command. And remember in past lessons, if Allah commands something, it means He loves it the most. It means it is the best for you. And the example we give is about parents. If parents love you and they will give your life for you, they will command you with things that you don't like sometimes. When you're a child and as you become a teenager, as long as they have control and ability to guide you, they will command you. They will make rules. They will prohibit you. They will ground you. They will confiscate devices from you until you go straight because they fear for you. Doesn't mean they hate you, it means they love you. But the parent who neglects you, doesn't care what you do, that's not real love. May Allah guide us all. So same thing. When Allah commands us, it means this is what He loves for us the most. And that is what it means. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the especially merciful. This is what Rahmah means, brothers and sisters. Mercy is not that we go and do everything and rebel and then say, oh Allah, you're merciful. That's playing games. Allah is merciful when He gave us the guidance and tells us, do this, don't do that, because that's where the mercy is. How else is mercy shown? How else is mercy shown, brothers and sisters? Mercy is also shown when you're wrong and you return back and Allah forgives you and He pardons you. That's one part. But the main mercy, the real reason of mercy, is the guidance of Allah. Guide me, have mercy, don't leave me to go astray. That's what mercy is. Oh Allah, wake me up, don't leave me to fall, have mercy. But most people don't think of it that way, because the shaitan doesn't let us think that way. So it is a command, my dear brothers and sisters. The first word, once again, is isbiru. You being patient with Allah's commands, number one, His prohibitions, number two, and His will. What He destines that happens to you. Three things is the meaning of be steadfast between you and Allah. The second command, وَصَابِرُوا. It has two meanings. Standing firm against the enemy in battle and wrestling against the harm and pressure from outsiders and the temptations within yourself that provoke you. And this is called mujahada. Keep wrestling and battling against the odds from outside that tempt you, pressure you, fight you to do the wrong. Battle with it. One of the acts of worship in life that people have forgotten is patience, is steadfastness. It is ibadah. When Allah says, I've created you to worship, this is part of worship. But when we say, oh, waking up for Fajr, it's annoying. Why doesn't Allah make it easy for me? You're supposed to battle with that. That is what worship is. Don't be a wuss. Can go to the gym and lift 80 kilos bench press, but can't lift the blanket. What muscles is that, ya Habibi? You masculine man, you hunk of a man, mashallah. Sorry I said this, but sometimes we need to wake up the boys. I wouldn't talk like that to sisters. But you know, men understand each other. Even me, I can't lift the blanket in the morning, I spit on myself. I say, well, you hunk of a man, you call yourself ugly, you're nothing. You've got to wake yourself up because time is running out. I know what's happening, this life is short. So brothers and sisters, therefore, repeating and summarizing, we are commanded to restrain ourselves, to persevere, and to be steadfast in patience in four matters in life. Number one, religious and moral duties and obligations. Be steadfast in doing your duties, your obligations, and your moral duties in life. That requires steadfastness and patience. Continue to pray your five daily prayers. Continue to fast Ramadan. Continue to pay your zakat. Continue to work towards going Hajj. Continue to obey Allah in the obligations, other obligations which He has told you throughout your life. As Allah says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, worship your Lord and be steadfast on it until death comes to you. Number two, patience is in temptations and desires against sinful acts and immoral behavior. We need steadfastness against. So now we've got steadfastness for, to continue doing our obligations. And now the second patience is steadfastness against temptations and desires which Allah forbid us against. You have to wrestle with it, brothers and sisters. It's not easy, but Jannah is not cheap. You want rewards. It's not cheap. You have to work towards it. It'd be quite a sight if, or quite a thing if I told you, don't worry, sit in bed, don't do anything, money will come to you, Habibi, your business will grow. You're going to say, that's absurd, come on, man. Ya Allah, you'll get knowledgeable without reading, life will be good by just living lazy and whatever. You're going to say it's wrong. So everything comes with effort. Number three, it means in times of hardships and calamities that happen to you beyond your control. Most people understand patience only here, in this matter. That when things go wrong for you and you're suffering in life and things beyond your control, you think, okay, this is where I need Allah. That is true. You need Allah in this time without a doubt. And don't you ever leave Allah. And Allah is always there for you. This is out of His mercy. But lots of our own consequences, lots of the sufferings that we go through in this life, a lot of it, other than the will of Allah, which He tests us with, is our negligence. Our negligence of our duties, our giving in to our temptations. This is where most of the harm comes from, brothers and sisters. Allah did not forbid something unless it is harmful and bad for us spiritually, mentally, or physically. Alcohol, gambling, usury, adultery, fornication, pornography, lying, cheating, stealing, all of this is to safeguard you, my dear brothers and sisters. Wallahi, I respect every brother and sister who is steadfast, and they are the truly beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah doesn't just leave you there. Anything you leave for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something better. Do you remember in Ramadan when you were fasting and you decided to stay away from the haram stuff you were doing before Ramadan? until he went back to it after Ramadan. But let's just remember the 1 month. Remember the month? Just that little paradise there. You were able to be steadfast. Do you remember that? Do you remember how you abstained? Do you remember how you said, I'm not going to watch this or that? Do you remember I'm going to cut off my relationship with that girlfriend or boyfriend? Every Muslim does that in Ramadan, mashallah. Let's put on our list. Ramadan comes, every boyfriend and girlfriend is going to learn what haram means. For the past 11 months, they don't know Ramadan, they learn haram. And then, it's just temporary. After Ramadan, hanky-panky again. Number four, the meaning of patience is battling and wrestling in patience against the harm and provocations of others and desires within yourself which try to ruin you. We are commanded, brothers and sisters, to do so. However, there are different circumstances in our life where patience takes on five different rulings. The five different rulings, I'll enumerate them and discuss them. Number one, patience in general is a must in all these four areas that I just mentioned. But then there are times where patience is not allowed. There is no steadfastness. It's haram to be steadfast in some particular ways. That's the second ruling. The third ruling, at times being steadfast is better, recommended but not obliged. Number four, steadfastness can be disliked. It's disliked to be steadfast here in this case, in certain situations. And the last one is a neutral one, optional. If you're being steadfast, it's good for you. If you don't, no big harm's going to happen. Let's go through them. When is it a must generally to be steadfast? So we're going to use the words. So remember, sabr doesn't have a direct meaning in English or in most other languages. So we're just going to say sabr means steadfastness, to restrain yourself from what you should not do. Patience, perseverance, all these meanings together. And we said to restrain yourself from things you should not do. That's really the definition of patience. So actually, before I explain it, let me give you a little picture of what in real life that I personally saw when I was in Lebanon. You know, in Lebanon, there's a cactus tree, and there's everywhere there's cactus trees, but this one's the prickle pear. And the prickle pear, if you've ever seen it and you look it up, in Arabic, we call it sabr, the sabr tree. Why? I'll tell you why. Because anybody who comes near it, you're going to have thorns all over your body. And they're so minute, they're microscopic, that no matter what, for the next 1 week, you've got prickles all over your body. So this particular pear, prickle pear, has all this. And the way that, and what's inside of it is very tasty and sweet. And it comes in different colors. If you are able to have patience and perseverance and keep going and not give up. And so you got to do the things where avoid the prickles from hurting you. So you wear gloves and I don't know what. And then you got to be determined to be patient for the next few minutes. Then you got to be very careful and precisely cut it. In the end, alhamdulillah, you come out with your reward. And that's the beautiful, nice fruit on the inside. So in life is the same thing. I sort of give the same example. If you avoid the things that Allah hath forbidden in life, they're the thorns on top of the prickly pear. If you are patient and continue to doing your obligations, they're like cutting it and slowly doing the right thing. You will eventually get to the blessing behind that calamity, the blessing behind that perseverance on your obligations, and the blessing behind you abstaining from that which Allah hath forbidden. And the blessing of you battling against the odds and the enemies that fight you within and without. The first one where you must restrain yourself is the following: from giving up on commanded obligations and from giving in to the prohibited matters in Islam. That's a must. You have no option. This is called patience upon commands and patience against haram. For example, society and bad friends. Bad friends who pressure you to do haram They're the worst you can ever have in your life. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mar'u 'ala din khalili, falyahdhar ahadukum man yukhalil." The person is on the way of life of their friend. Deen means way of life. So be aware who you take as your close friend. Not a good friend, tell them, if this doesn't stop, Anna, I would like to cut off my friendship with you. And I advise you to also stop what you're doing because you're not good for me. No matter what they get upset with, they guilt trip you, they tell you how bad you are, you tell you all these things, this is toxicity. Then you know they shouldn't be your friend. And invite them to join you. Don't go and joining them and be manipulated. Be strong. This is called patience, perseverance. And Allah will replace that dirty person, if they don't want to repent, that dirty person with someone better for you, and they will support you all your life. You will know them. They're the people who will come to you and say, this is a safe place. We don't ask you about your personal life. We will never blackmail you. We don't want any of your secrets. And even if you do, it's secret with us. You can stay. We will support you. And they mean it, and you test them. They're the good friends. And when you do wrong, they tell you you did wrong. They don't sugarcoat it. That's called sadiq. In Arabic means a trustworthy, an honest friend. A friend who tells you when you're doing wrong is a good friend. Not the one who humiliates you, tells you in secret and says, look man, how long have we known each other? I am your friend. I'm going to be honest with you. This is going to make you go astray. And that's a good friend. My brothers and sisters, for example, you must restrain yourself and be patient against peer pressure. Another example is when you're commanding good and prohibit evil. This is very hard for a lot of the religious people who are sincere. Our brothers and sisters who really, in their heart, they want the best for their brothers and sisters. They try to guide them. They try to remind them. They try to advise them. They try to invite them to that which will save them in this life and the next. And subhanAllah, these people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. They are the messengers of Allah on earth. And that is where paradise is. May Allah keep them steadfast. My brothers and sisters, if you are one of them, may Allah preserve you, because you're going to have to be patient. And the stronger you are with your deen, and the more that you work in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with wisdom, of course, be aware that your calamities, your tests are going to be a little bit more than others. You are going to hear more hurtful words from people than others. And that is the ranking under the prophets and messengers. All the prophets and messengers in their work were abused, were accused, were sworn at, were everything. Even some of them were killed and tried to murder them, everything. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Inna ashadda bala'an al-anbiya." Thumma al-amthal. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Ahmad, the same of it. In Ahmad and Sahih al-Albani. He said, the ones that have the greatest tests and calamities in life are the prophets. Then the ones closer to them in liking, then the ones closer to them, and so on. Why? Because Allah makes something greater out of you. And this is out of Allah's mercy that He gives each person a different type of test according to their state. Not everybody gets the same. So be careful, brothers. Those who are on a straight path, if you want to know if it is a test or a punishment, look at yourself. Are you running a good straight path in life? Or is it full of major sins and haram which you are continuing with? Then Allah is maybe teaching you a lesson. We're going to come back to that, inshallah. These people who pressure you, brothers and sisters, into leaving, you're going to have to battle with them and battle with what's happening. Could be family, could be friends, it could be at school, it could be a teacher. Even a teacher, but normally teachers don't do it. It could be society, it could be social media friends, it could be any of them. If you try to be on the deen, these people, if they're bad friends, they will put you down, cut you off, and even talk about you badly, because you teach people good and remind them to avoid the bad for their own sake. Of course, you do it with wisdom. I'm not talking about those who've got an ego problem and they want to control everybody by using deen. That's just thugs in the masjid, I call them. But this one is people who are sincere and advise with goodness. So, brothers and sisters, these are the people. Number two, the forbidden steadfastness. You might say, what? Is it haram to be patient? Only in one case. Listen to it carefully. I think this is the most important part of my whole lecture today. Which patience and steadfastness is it haram to be steadfast on it? Of course, we already said it is haram to be steadfast on haram. Don't continue your haram. We have to be steadfast against it. Therefore, the most important part, forbidden restraint and forbidden steadfastness, must not, is against moral guilt or sinful guilt. Moral guilt and sinful guilt. I'll explain. Meaning, you know something is haram or morally wrong, but you fight against it in order to keep doing it and not feel bad about it anymore. That's steadfastness. Courageous, mashallah. He's a gun. Well, Allah is strong, bro. He can go and do haram and doesn't care. He's a rebel. I don't want to say more other words, street language, because we're in the masjid. That's not my, these are not my words. You know, fill in the gaps. The bad boy, the bad girl. Everyone thinks any one of us here can do haram. What, is it hard to commit adultery and fornication and go and steal and go and do theft and go and bash someone who is innocent and go and join in gangs and groups and take drugs? Oh, everyone can do it. But the strong person is the one who restrains themselves. That's a strong person. That is the hunk of a man. That is the strong man. That is the strong woman. That's what strength and independence means. It means to be strong and independent of your desires. Strong and independent of depending on your desires and temptations. They're all weak. There is no steadfastness there. Brothers and sisters, in other words, patience in fighting against good things. That's what's haram. And you keep going with haram things. This is called forbidden patience. For example, now comes the examples. Let's say you feel guilty about a haram thing that you are doing. You feel guilty about it. You say, man, I shouldn't be doing this. It's a sin. But you have a bad friend who has experience in this haram for way before you now. And they've learned the tricks of how to minimize the guilt and enjoy the haram. So this friend who is from the shaitan comes and whispers into your ear, and the shaitan friend, human shaitan, is worse than the jinn shaitan. Because the jinn shaitan, you say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ajim, runs away, comes back. The human shaitan, you say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ajim, they say, shut up, man, what are you talking about? So here it is. It says, the example, but this bad friend who is experienced in that haram says to you, don't worry, right now you feel bad, keep doing it, and it becomes okay, it feels easier. It's just hard now. MashaAllah, what a friend. Allah says, فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. Oh, how steadfast as they are on the burning fire. Whenever you do that, I want you to imagine, if you are one of them, may Allah forbid any of you being those, who is that friend who tries to make their friend who has still got a pure heart, still feeling guilty about wrong. This is a good thing, to feel guilty about wrong. That's a good thing. But you come up to them in the name of mental health, and I know about mental health. This is not mental health. This is not cure. And they say, let's help them to enjoy their boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and sleeping together by decorating it for them. It feels bad at the beginning, but inshallah, it'll get easier for you. You'll enjoy it. What, you got STDs? Don't worry. Just stay away from me. Yeah, they'll throw you under the bus. They'll throw you under the bus. And when the tough gets going, they say, well, it's their fault. They're dirty. They're like this. They're like that. It's just like the shaitan. Wallahi, like the shaitan. Allah mentions the shaitan in the Quran, the real jinn, the qareen, the one you're born with. Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ and it says in the Quran, وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ رَبَّنَا مَا أَطْغَيْتُ. And his qareen is the shaitan that you're born with, which whispers to you. On the day of judgment, will say, my Lord, my Lord. He acts like he's religious. The little shifty. He says, yeah, my Lord, my Lord. مَا أَطْغَيْتُهُ. I didn't make him go astray. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. He was already long gone. He was already swimming deep in the ocean. The shark's already there. He had no hope. I just told him. In another verse, that shifty qareen, he says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You see, I fear Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. In another verse, he says, "Inni bari'um mink, inni akhafu Allah rabban." Hey, I'm innocent from you, man. Don't blame it on me. I'm innocent. Do you want to know what's even more than that? Allah says in the Quran about these bad friends who made you feel good about your sin, who are going to be the cause of you entering the fire, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if you do not repent and cut them off. Allah says in the Quran,
وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا.
Allah says, and on that day, the oppressor, the wrongdoer, who wronged himself or herself, will literally eat away at their fingers. So anxiety, fear, nervousness, fear will eat at their fingers. He will say, or she will say, I wish that I had not taken so-and-so as my company and friend. He or she has led me off the straight path. And truly the evil shaitan, human and jinns, is a betrayer of his promises to his friends or to the humans. So, in another verse, Allah says,
"Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din 'aduun illa al-muttaqin."
Behold, the best of friends here on the Day of Judgment will be the worst enemies. They will turn on each other on the Day of Judgment. Except the best friends here who used to fear Allah together. On the Day of Judgment, they will be rejoicing together. They will be celebrating together. The bad friends who supported each other in sin, they'll say, did you get her, bro? Did you get her number? Did you go out? How far did you go? Share it, bro. Come here, boys, he is the best. Let's celebrate. That's what they do to you. Sisters, oh, how cute. She got him. They become boyfriend and girlfriend. It's haram. Yeah, it's like as if they're husband and wife. And then one of them looks at someone else and they go, he cheated on me. Cheated? Over what? You guys are already, you're not even lawful for each other. It's like I sit in the fire and I get burnt from that fire and another fire and another fire and I say, that's not fair. Habibi, you're already in the fire. What cheating? You're cheating on yourself already. You're cheating on that person. You're cheating on Allah. And I'll tell you what will happen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be steadfast against sins, wallahi, it is out of His mercy. Allah, wallahu, wallah. It is because He is merciful. He's telling you, don't do it because it's going to lead you in the wrong way. You are going to get, and you know the worst punishment that a person gets out of doing the wrong thing? I'll tell you what it is. It's not just physical. The worst is mental and emotional. Because your parents, for example, can probably help you physically. They can probably go and do things to protect you or to help you along. But they cannot put their hands inside your heart and change it. They cannot put your hands inside your mind and make you feel better. That's you. You're going to have to suffer with that. Every haram will lead to, unless you turn. It starts step by step. These people, let's talk about relationships, for example. They follow what they see on social media and this trend of people having relationships outside of marriage. In Islam, this is haram and forbidden. And then after haram happens, Allahu A'lam, where it gets to, that's if Allah saves them from any diseases, walayyadu billah, they get married. And I've seen this happen a few times. People have come to me with this same help that they needed. And let's say they had a haram life, and when you have a haram life, it's not blessed unless you repent. If both of you repent to Allah, move back, stop what you're doing and be sincere to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exchange your sins into hasanat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you after that. Allah forgives all sins. But we're talking about those who still justify and enter it through the haram. Those people will never trust each other when they're married. Those two who started off their relationship and entered into marriage through haram means they can't trust each other unless they repent. I'll tell you what happens. They'll be sitting at a restaurant together. Let's say it's their nice, he wants to, you know, they had a fight or something and the husband wants to make it up to her and goes, let's go to a restaurant. They go and sit at a restaurant. Some lady goes past. He looks at her. She says, why'd you look at her? He says, I don't mean it. It's just whatever. She goes, how do I know? You're acting all religious now. He goes, it's haram for me looking at haram. You already did haram with me. How can I trust you now? And he'll say, wow, you're not an angel. You let me do haram with you before marriage. How can I trust you? And this is how the shaitan comes in and separates them and makes it toxic. If there is no trust, there is no relationship. They started off on distrust. The worst is when you get a Muslim guy, right? He goes and befriends a non-Muslim girlfriend. He treats her nice and everything. When it comes to marriage, he says, you've got to convert to Islam. This is haram. It's Ramadan. She doesn't know what hit her. She doesn't know. You're supposed to know. And then now she's looking into Islam, trying to get, because she's in love with him. She wants to get married. Is that a sincere Islam, is it? She's just doing it for you, buddy. No, I'm halal. I don't. And that's when she starts finding out that he's a hypocrite. How can you say haram all this time and you never told me? How can I trust you coming to the marriage? I was a non-Muslim, I don't know. Of course, if you repent to Allah and you stop what you're doing and you sincerely make a determination to change your life for the sake of Allah, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors and things can get fixed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. Allah says in the Quran about persevering against haram,
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا.
Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 32, and do not come near adultery, for it is an outrageous act and an evil way, an evil pathway. Listen, brothers and sisters, to the words that Allah is saying. He's saying, don't come near adultery and fornication. Who can tell me what that means? What is the difference between saying, don't do adultery or fornication, and don't come near adultery and fornication? Same with the other verses. Don't come near alcohol and wine, and don't come near gambling and usury. What is the difference between saying, don't do it, and don't come near it? Is there a difference? Who? Temptation. Yeah, elaborate a little bit more. What does it mean, don't come near? Therefore, it's a physical act. Temptation is still in here. You are not held accountable for your temptation until you act on your temptation. And some temptations are good, some temptations are bad. A husband and wife who are married, their temptation for each other is amazing. They're rewarded for it. But the temptation in non-haram relationship, then you don't get sinned for it until you act upon it. So what does it mean? It's an action, akhi. You're close. So basically, what does it mean? Bilal, yeah?
Not to go near it physically.
Go near it physically. Don't take steps towards it. And for example, on social media, I download Snapchat or Instagram or whatever. But I download it in order to meet up with someone. I heard from my friends, I'll give an example, that if you go on there, there are some lovely girls on there that we can talk to. Let's say teenagers are saying that among each other. And then what do they do? How old are you? Oh, I'm 14, 15. Oh, sweet, sweet. Sweet for what? In Manita, ready for haram. Ready for haram mingling. And then from there, that's getting closer. Talk, set up a date. Next. And the shaitan comes and tells you, you haven't done anything bad yet. It's not like you slept with each other. You're still halal. SubhanAllah. This is exactly how things get from bad to worse. And once you are alone with the opposite sex in one closed room, brothers and sisters, no matter how righteous, even if you were a prophet. Yani prophets, far-fetched, but any human being. Because physically what happens is that your prefrontal cortex right here, it literally kind of blocks off. And the fear factor goes down a little bit, the embarrassment factor goes down a bit, the rational factor kind of goes down a bit, the shame factor goes down a bit. And then you start getting excited. Before you know it, oh my God, what have I done? That's if you still have any ounce of shame left, yani that is. And that's how the shaitan pulls you. So it's time to repent. So don't come close to adultery or fornication. Its pathway is terrible. And if I were to go physical about it, I would say, not only just heartbreaks, we can say, you all know, STIs, STDs. In the past, in the 80s, there was HIV. I was going to say HSV, the cars. HIV. HSVs were used for HIV, by the way. And then AIDS, God forbid. And in certain parts of the world, over 3 million babies were born with HIV and AIDS in the 90s. That's because their mothers had it. And so the babies, they get it. What's their crime? You want to marry someone, you might have, God forbid, STD. And some of this doesn't show until after 6 weeks. Some of them don't show after 6 months. You think you're okay. And then it's transmitted. Depends on what kind of STD it is, of course. There are bacterial and viral ones, but we're not going to talk science now. But anyway, the point is that anything that Allah has forbidden, there is either spiritual, mental, or physical harm to you. So avoid it. And that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given you alternative halals. Go for the alternative and have fun with it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعْ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إلا أبدلك الله به ما هو خير لك منه. He said to one of his young companions, you, there is nothing that if you were to leave it just for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high, the most honorable, except every time that Allah will replace you with that which you left with something equal, like it or better in a beneficial way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave you. Everything you give up for the sake of Allah, Allah replaces you. He repays you something better. He's not just going to leave you there. But if you leave it for the sake of some worldly benefit, maybe, maybe not. For example, if I am doing something haram and I left it because I want to keep my job, that's not really for the sake of Allah. I may get benefit, I may not. If a person wants to leave that haram relationship because they got caught and their parents are about to chuck a hoo-ha about it, and they left and they said, doesn't matter. And then he finds another girlfriend and says, oh, Allah gave me a better place. That's not, that's from the shaitan. That's more harm. You're being dug even deeper and you don't even know it. So leave something for the sake of Allah. Bad influential friends are the number one factor, and misuse of social media. And I say 90% of young people misuse social media, and this is one of the pathways these days of how. Yani I say to parents, my parents, dear parents, wallahi for us, it is so hard. This day and age, we have a very new challenge. Back in the 80s, you and I, you know, we didn't have social media, we didn't have phones, you know. And this day and age, it's like a double-edged sword. You prevent it, you got problems. You let them go all out, you got bigger problems. Until something calamity happens and then you have to go into damage control. Yeah, we are all prone to it, from me to you to everybody. We are all subjected to these calamities. And alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and help us. But you have to place rules, even if your children get upset, but also show them love. Give them an alternative. Just like Allah says, if you leave something for the sake of Allah, He'll give you or replace it. You also, don't just make rules of don't do this, don't do that, but also replace it with something else. And that's the art of parenting. Don't be afraid, don't be upset, and don't feel guilty when they guilt trip you because you've taken a device or whatever. But monitor, and that's another topic, inshallah ta'ala. Finally, with those friends, let's say that you know something bad about someone and they went astray. Instead of making it worse by talking about them and spreading rumors about them, or even if it's not a rumor, you say something about them, whether directly or indirectly or passively, don't do that. Because anybody who hears you, you may be teaching them to feel better about their sin when you expose others. Or you will help that person to continue in their sin, or it'll come to haunt you as well. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. Man satara ala akhihi satarahu Allah. Whoever man satara awrata akhihi satarahu Allah. Satara Allahu awratahu. Whoever covers up a shortcoming or a sin of their brother or sister, Allah will cover up a shortcoming or a sin of theirs on the Day of Judgment. And some scholars, and other scholars like Ibn al-Qayyim, said even in this life. وَمَنْ كَشَفَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ. And whoever exposes the shortcoming or sin of their Muslim brother or sister, كَشَفَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ حَتَّى يَفْضَحَهُ بِهَا فِي بَيْتِهِ. Allah will expose his or her own shortcomings and sins to the point that he will expose him or her even if they were inside their house. Trying to hide from everyone, he'll expose them. So don't expose people, my dear brothers and sisters. Guide them, make dua for them. You can warn others that you know if they are subjected at risk with them. If they're lying to them and they're going to take them somewhere bad and you, that person, go up to them and say, brother, sister, I'll give you advice and I warn you. This person does 1, 2, 3. Doesn't matter what they say. This is, you are commanded, and if you are able to save your brother and sister, save them, inshallah. The last ways that we are patient are three, and they're just quickly. There are times when it is better to be patient, recommended but not obliged. And that is patience with recommended acts, like the 12 sunnahs after your prayer. Some people find it hard to continue them, be consistent on them. Well, you require steadfastness to continue with them. But even if you don't, you're not sinned. But if you do, it's recommended. Number four, where patience is disliked or steadfastness is disliked. So when is that? It is when there are things that are disliked, disliked acts in Islam, or things that morally are not so good but not so serious. And convincing yourself it's okay, right, is disliked. So things that are makruh, disliked in Islam but not very serious, it's also disliked to convince yourself that it's okay to do. We discussed and had a talk on sins in one of my lectures on YouTube about disliked things and halal and haram. You can look at what disliked things are. And finally, the last one of these five is steadfastness on things that are neutral. Whether you're steadfast on them, good for you. Whether you're not, there's no harm. And usually they are worldly or material benefits in life, such as being steadfast in making business profit. Obviously, you need to have patience and steadfastness. Worldly education, studying and all that. Trying to get back a debt that you lent to someone and you're steadfast and you continue to try and hold yourself back. And so on. All these are worldly material things that what we call are mubah. Being steadfast in them is neutral. You're not rewarded by Allah if you are steadfast in making profit. You're not rewarded by Allah if you are steadfast in asking for your right back, unless there is something attached to religion in it. So for example, if I am being steadfast in my business to make a profit, and part of my intention to make a profit is in order to feed my family or people who are dependent on me so that they don't need anyone else, or to give sadaqah and zakat, then I hit two birds with one stone in that patience. So my dear brothers and sisters, today we spoke about one aspect of steadfastness, and we didn't focus too much on the calamities and hardships that you go through. However, I will just recite and conclude with one passage of the Quran in relation to the hardships and calamities that are beyond our control that happen to you. And I think this ayah, this verse in the Quran will suffice. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
In Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 155 to 157, Allah says, "We shall certainly, without any doubt, test you by afflicting you with a few things, every now and then. By afflicting you with a little bit of fear sometimes, hunger sometimes, loss of properties sometimes, and lives sometimes, and fruits sometimes. Give good news then to those who remain patient, those who, when any affliction smites them, they say and they act upon the following words, 'Indeed, we belong to Allah, and it is to Him that we are destined to return. Upon them will be the blessings and mercy of their Lord, and it is they who are rightly guided.'" May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength of patience in times of calamity and hardships, in times of suffering, and to reward us and replace us with the suffering and pain with a relief and an opening afterwards. For with every hardship there are many eases, and after every perseverance there is strength and growth. And Allah does not demote you except to promote you. He does not harm you except to benefit you. And Allah does not take away from you something except because He's going to give you. So stay steadfast and assume well of Allah, and know that Allah does not ask you or burden you to do more than what you can. And may Allah make us and help us to be strong in steadfastness with our obligations, and to help us in being steadfast against our temptations and desires of sin. Ameen. And to assist us in battling against the pressures of outside people and enemies and those within. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah bless you, brothers and sisters. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.